at 35. Thank you so much.
Yes, all the same times. $20, please. Have a nice day.
Let's go back into our cathedrals of capitalism with my retail experts, Christine Moody, founder of Brand Audits. Welcome back, Christine.
Hi, Steve.
Dominic Lamb, Chief Executive Officer of the National Retail Association. Good to see you again, Dominic.
Hello.
And Gary Mortimer, Associate Professor at QUT's Business School. Gary, thanks for coming in.
G'day, Steve.
All right. Well, I need your take on what's happening in the heart of Brisbane, the CBD Mall. Is it heading somewhere, or is it wandering aimlessly through a blancmange of international brand labels?
Wow. Well, I think that we touched on this last week, and at the moment, retail is certainly struggling in that Queen Street Mall area. There has been some development towards the end of it, certainly around those high-end brands, and I think that's a great idea because obviously we're attracting lots of tourists. But the question is, what are we doing with the iconic mall? Because right now there's a lot of closures and a lot of vacant stores, and it's looking
old. How many vacant stores are there, Dominic? Any idea?
I couldn't give you numbers, but certainly at that top end, I mean, you know, we're even seeing restaurants move out, which concerns me.
And that's the thing.
Christine, you shop.
I do. I go in the mall.
You lurk.
I lurk. But you often see the movement from the mall. So at one end it's busy, then shops close there and they go down to Queen's Plaza, et cetera. Then something else opens up the other end, they go down the other end. But that particular block between Albert and George Street seems to be difficult at the moment. So the Myer Centre, the hotel that's across the road, I can't remember the name, but
Next.
But the thing
is, the digital motel, which is an excuse for not having staff to actually look after you.
That's it, so that you check in, check out, or yes, clean your own room. But
it's all very Uber.
But I think too, with the city, it's important that we have a iconic mall. The CBD will always be the centre of business. The big businesses, like professional firms, lawyers, accountants, etc., will always be in the city. And every city has a great centre of the city, which often is around a central mall. So we need to do something.
I'm sorry, but I just don't see that mall as being great. Gary Mortimer?
Needs to be.
Yeah, you're right. And I think there's probably a distinct lack of investment, not just from council, because there does need to be work done in that particular space, but also by developers. And we look at the Myer Centre.
What happens if developers think they can't make a decent buck there?
Well, and that becomes a challenge. I mean, at the moment, what we can see is there's a strong pull to the bottom end of the mall, so the Queen's Plaza, the Edward Street precinct. We've seen a lot of development down there, but by both developers, retailers, and obviously Queen's Plaza. Winter Garden has gone through a period of redevelopment. I've looked through that particular element, and again, there's a lot of closures in the Winter Garden complex, and maybe your listeners have wandered through and had a look at that themselves. There's not a real reason to pull people to the top of the mall. I think when we start to see the Queen's Wharf development go through over the next few years, there might be a pull up to the top end of the mall. I think it's really then they'll need to start to really look at what they do at the top end of the mall.
Dominique, what pulls people into a mall? What makes you, because it's a little, I mean, you can't sort of just easily drive in there and park your car. It's a little bit of a logistical juggling exercise.
Yes, and I think, so what pulls people into a mall is really about the experience and about the atmosphere and about the foot traffic and the number of people. You may recall that we spoke to one of your listeners about the impact that the Wednesday markets were having on the top of
that's
that
right.
mall.
Yes.
The wonderful juice guy is gone. He's packed up and left, and you know, was almost an iconic juice.
Now, he was a point of difference. He was one of those local, niddle, unique, yep, sort of boutique Queensland or Brisbane people, and he's gone.
And I can't help but think the markets broke him, because he was one of the ones saying, I'm paying all this rent, I have to comply with all of these things, and yet we've got this markets, you know, happening at the top, which, you know, it definitely attracts lots of traffic. It, you know, does what you want to happen in a mall, but it's pulling away from all of the people that are paying rent in that space on a weekday when, you know, as Chris has pointed out, that's when the professional firms are open. So, look, there hasn't been any type of renovation or any kind of investment in terms of experience in that Myer Centre, and that's a concern. We are coming into that, and I'm sorry, you're going to kill me, but the Christmas period for retail. But when that happens, obviously, we'll start to see live windows, we'll start to see the Christmas parades, we'll start to see the lights happening in Roma Street, all of those kinds of things. You'll probably get a bit of an influx, but right now there's no retailers to sell them anything. So,
according to Fairfax, Camilla, and they're not talking about Prince Charles's wife, Dior, Arge, is it? Oahe, Scanlon and Theodore. These sound like names for snobby children to me, but apparently they're fashion labels or something.
They are.
Who are they? They're all coming, apparently.
Well, they are. They're probably going to Queen's Plaza, I guess, because they're renovating that at the moment. But they're the sort of brands that they want in the mall. And we've spoken before about some of the luxury brands probably get a better square foot or square metre rent deal than some others. So to be an international city, some people want those international brands in there, but unfortunately the smaller brands just can't afford it.
I get that. I got no objection to that. I get that. But what's your point of difference? You know, you've got to have those local boutique-y, the flavour of Brisbane, the flavour of Queensland. Mm-hmm. I mean, all they've got now is the Noosa Chocolate Factory, and that's about it.
Yeah, and the Brisbane Arcade, which is lovely. There needs to be better category planning, and I think if we look at the bottom end of the mall, you would say that's really gourmet, luxury, fashion, high-end boutique. What's missing is a story. Kmart have done this quite successfully with their lifestyle areas. So they've got their fashion area, they've got their food area, they've got their children's clothing along with children's shoes and toys together next to sporting. So what's missing is a bit like that juice. It's a bit like what's the top end of the mall represent? Is it going to be food? Is it going to be food and restaurants, which is different from fashion, because you can't have fashion stretching the entire length of the mall because there's only so much fashion that we can consume. Yeah. And that's really dominant at the bottom end of the mall. We can see that in the middle of the mall. So we've got that fast fashion area. You've got H&M, you've got Zara, you've got Uniqlo. Right, I've got that market, which is that sort of teen, early 20s market. The bottom end is certainly high income earners, better quality food experience. Top end of the mall, I'm not sure what's going on up there.
See, in James Street, they really thought about James Street. They're all separate operators. Some are in the same tenancy area but controlled by the same people. But they've really thought about how that works.
Yeah.
And they've got a reason to go there. They have a festival, or they think about the streetscape. So we're all going to get lights on, or we're going to do – and it has a feeling that you can go – you can spend the whole day there. Mm. There was some celebrity there yesterday, because perhaps everywhere. But I don't know who it was. But maybe it was me.
That big.
Well, it was either Pink or Katie. But anyway, you go there and you can spend the whole day there. I don't think you could do that necessarily at the top end of the mall.
So hang on. So Pink or Katy Perry were in James Street?
Yes, shopping.
Shopping?
Yes.
So why weren't they shopping in the CBD mall?
Because I think someone would have said, where do I go to shop?
Where and they didn't say the CBD
That's
mall.
That's right. They would have gone exactly James right. Street. Yep. So I think we can learn from James, because James Street wasn't all that way. So it wasn't always that way.
All right.
So
closing remarks on this, and then I'll move on to IKEA. Any other thoughts?
I think they'll need to do some significant work when they move to Queen's Plaza, when they move to the Queen's Wharf development, because it will pull traffic through. But if that particular part of the mall's not ready for it, I think there's going to be some missed opportunities.
Mm. All right. I had a caller ring earlier on and say it's easier setting up a business in London than it is in Brisbane, and it's cheaper. And another listener rang and said, and I could park for €5 in the heart of Munich for half a day. Why is it cheaper to park in the most expensive cities in the world to live than it is in Brisbane? Any idea? Is it rents? Is it leases? Is it something else?
Look, I think it's got to do with planning as well. And I think that certainly European cities take a different approach, because consumers and certainly the people that live in those cities have different expectations. Brisbane City Council, probably about 12 months ago, did some reviews of parking around the CBD and made some significant changes, especially on weekends, in terms of getting more people in, putting on additional buses, on additional trains, halving the price of certain parking stations that are controlled by them. But you've got to remember, there's a lot of private providers in there. So it's really about investment, I think, into those centres and having a look at the providers that they've got. If they want to attract more people, then perhaps you've got to drop that parking.
Gary or Chris, any thoughts? Christine?
Probably economies of scale again. Okay. And my experience of Dublin, certainly London, certainly Paris, there's not a lot of people that drive into those cities. No. The public transport's amazing. You jump into subways, you pop out, you're in the middle of the city. So, I guess, there's not much needs. The price has to come down to get people to drive in, I guess.
And mind you, the city is really busy on a weekend. So, because parking is cheaper on the weekend. So it has that really great atmosphere, because a lot of people come through, but definitely has something to do with public transport as well.
Just before I move on, in relation to markets, John of Newmarket says, your observation about the markets causing some difficulty for the mall traders says, Milton, you name the markets, they all affect the businesses who are paying the high rents and compliance. They should not be allowed to operate, says John of Newmarket. He's got a point.
Yeah, he's got a point.
It's tough because that adds to the experience. And, you know, Rosalie, the Nunda markets, the Eagle Farm markets, these types.
So when they do their one-day-a-week market on a Wednesday here and outside the City Hall area, that, you know, I know it's an event, Gary, but it probably, like, that's the one day that means profit for the businesses that are paying the high rent and the compliance costs.
Yeah, I mean it's a balance because at one hand we'll call for experience and we call for excitement and newness and something that's going to attract and, you know, it's quite an exciting sort of, you know, almost that's this theatre of food marketing to some extent. Mm-hmm. But I get it, like, you know, you set up for a day and that can wipe out, you know, 20% of your sales if you're an incumbent retail and you're paying your leasing costs.
All right. Mm-hmm. This is ABC Radio Brisbane. My guests are all in shopping, retail or business. Dominic Lamb from the National Retail Association, Gary Mortimer from QUT's Business School, Christine Moody, founder of Brand Audits. Christine, tell me why IKEA goes small to grow big. I don't imagine IKEA being small anywhere.
Well, it is going to go smaller. It's going to go a lot smaller, actually. So they've realised that they have been a big box for a long time. They want to get closer to their customers. I think the Kmart, the Target, etc., those furniture areas have really affected IKEA because they are in shopping centres, etc. But they're changing everything. They're actually going online. You can get delivery because they're developing these new warehouses everywhere. And they're also doing, obviously, assembly with TaskRabbit because they've bought TaskRabbit. So they're really changing this 75-year-old company. If you remember, the founder died last year. So they basically are using this time now to
reinvent themselves
because they realise if they don't, they will not grow. So, yeah, they're doing these smaller boxes and it's really from 32 square metres down to between 6,000 and 12,000 square metres in shopping centres, and they talk about the fact they want to be people coming to them, not having to think I have to do a big trip out to Logan or wherever they are. So they'll be closer to the shopping centres.
North Lakes or Mango Hill, where that's the other one is.
Yeah, so smaller stores, but you'll be able to order and you can just have it delivered. So it's brilliant.
All right. Let me move on then. Dom, Taco Bell. Why are they going to be having women in white
in their
residence?
Well, Taco Bell have just decided to create a new experience for their very, very dedicated diners. And effectively, they're offering people to have their weddings at their flagship location in Las Vegas.
Brilliant.
To the point that they're having at least a wedding a week. They've had 60 couples go through. They're planning 25 more sites. They've already had couples fly to China to do it. And part of your package is that
who are you people? Are you serious?
I know, yeah. Part of the package is that you
darling, let's get married and do it at a fast food takeaway. Wait, really? Well, seriously?
Well, wait for it. So you get a sauce packet bouquet, a wedding cake, which is a cine bun, and 12 tacos plus some other things.
And the relatives you don't like, they go through the drive-thru. Yeah.
What's a city bun?
A city bun is like, the only way I describe it is it's almost like a scroll covered in cinnamon-flavoured icing. Yeah, they're very good.
It doesn't sound very Mexican or taco-ish to me.
That's it, but there is a new Brisbane provider actually making city buns in all different flavours in the CBD who is doing quite well, so I would recommend them to you. I just can't remember the name.
Well, next time get your act together and bring us some in. So, now there is actually one of these stores have opened up in Brisbane. In an old Sizzler location.
Yeah, that's right.
At Annerley, I understand. But I don't believe it's been setting the world on fire. So will there be weddings in this particular...
Have you been, Steve?
I have not. I've done a survey of 3 10-year-olds.
Oh.
Now, 10-year-old girls are fairly discriminating in their tastes, and they tell you very quickly what they like and don't like.
So there are lines out the door of that Taco Bell. Doesn't matter what day it is. In fact, when it opened, there was a line that went around the car park and they were waiting 3 hours to get in because it was the arrival back into Australia. And even after that, like we're talking 6 months after, there are still lines out the door on a Friday night. So the 10-year-olds might
tacos
not like it.
Tacos are the easiest thing in the world to make. Yes. Well,
they don't just serve tacos. They have other options.
City buns.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
So I've been proven wrong because my position was they've had a crack at the market twice before. They failed twice before. But obviously I stand corrected because obviously Tom has checked this place out. And if they're still pulling lines,
She was looking for a wedding venue.
It's it. Cause my criticism, there are some very good, and I won't name them, there's some very good, better quality Mexican fast casual options already dominating the market. And I really was critical of this. And listen, don't get me wrong, Taco Bell does some good stuff, but it's very much that McDonald's, KFC, it's Yum Brands.
But it's seen as healthier too. Some people go Mexican, there's beans and vegetables and a bit of...
It's healthy. Okay.
It's healthy. So I think
it's definitely different from the other Mexican brands on the market. In fact, it's more of a Californian Mexican, which you, Gary, might understand, having travelled so much.
Well, a Tex-Mex sort of thing or something.
It's kind of... seems to be less quantity, but the flavours are slightly different. It's less bean-focused. Mm. And I think that they've got more variety on their menu.
Gee, Dom's done a research. Crikey, what have we opened? Before I let you guys go, tell me about retail sales for Queensland, Gary Mortimer.
Yeah, so results were out, would have been late last week, early this week, in fact. Again, a pretty subdued market. So national retail sales up 0.4%. On the previous month, so this is June, so May, up slightly from May. Queensland went back by 0.3%. So actually went back in Queensland. Northern Territory is the only other territory to go back. Everybody else fared quite well. There was some winners in that. Footwear, clothing, accessories up 1.2%, which is a surprise because that's a category that's really struggled in the last couple of years. Cold weather, cold snap, we're buying our winter woolies now. Cafes, restaurants up almost 1%, 0.9% up. So it shows that we're actually eating out. Food and groceries in line with national retail sales are up at 0.4%. But department stores slid 1.2%. So department stores really struggling to gain traction in the marketplace. I think the winning out of that was the Kmart discount department store.
While on Kmart, tell me about the Marks and Spencers. So this is a UK outlet, the executive behind Kmart's home furnishings success.
Yeah, listen, really strategic move. They picked up Kate Hopwood, who was with Marks and Spencers as a designer, and she started from the ground up. So she did her degree in furniture design, fashion design, and then moved to Marks and Spencers. Eventually brought a team together of about 28 people. And here at Kmart, she's joined them since about 2014. She's leading our team of 40 in-house designers that scour the world for growing trends. And that's why we're seeing Kmart do so successfully well in that home fashions, homewares, Manchester's kitchenware space. They commonly dominate that market. 12% of that sort of market is now dominated by Kmart. They're leading the way ahead of IKEA and even sort of putting a bit of pressure on Adairs and I guess those traditional stores that focused on that.
And that's the point of difference. That design in-house makes a difference because you can't copy that easily. And she's got an amazing experience.
So not a great range of styles, but economies of scale. Yes. So the best colours, the best on style. You won't get a massive range, but a core range, and it will constantly evolve and change. And I think that's the secret. They're basically taking a fast fashion model and applying it in a discount store department.
Which is why IKEA is getting smaller. Hmm.
My guests are Christine Moody, Gary Mortimer and Dominic Lamb. Before I let you go, is there a secret in Brisbane in retail that we should know about? You guys get out there, you talk to people, you hear whispers, you hear rumours. Is there something that like people in the know about that we can reveal this afternoon?
I might reveal this next week, but I'll
but I'll tell you now.
So I had a quick look online and I just came from a workshop on data analytics and machine learning. So basically computers and AI that actually learn our decisions. And one of the challenges that retailers are facing now is that ordering via voice. So listeners may have one of those little digital home assistants, and we're currently using it for, so Google, what time is it or what's the weather like? But eventually what we're going to start to see, and we're seeing this already emerge in the US, people actually... using it to buy stuff. So I need some more laundry detergent and some more toilet paper. One major supermarket retailer is currently recruiting for a manager of learning design and learning design engineers. So they're just getting in the steps to say we need to think about it. I'll talk about it next week.
I just say that to my husband. Get this, get that. He gets it.
Is that your AI?
That's my AI.
Yeah, but the AI often gets it wrong, don't they? When it's the husband?
Sometimes.
Dom, is there a secret? You've got your finger on the pulse. Come on, what do we know? What's the shopping secret of Brisbane at the moment?
Oh, the shopping secret of Brisbane, I think, at the moment, it is really around James Street, to be honest. I think that's where it's at. I think that if you are looking for really interesting things, you should wait to see what's happening in that space because it's going to be pretty exciting.
James Street, New Farm. Dominic Lamb, Gary Mortimer, Christine Moody, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.